The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my new producer and engineer, Bob Dio. Bob may be new to it the daily basis to the Buckmaster Show, but Bob and I have been friends for years. Bob's been doing some fill-in work for the Buckmaster Show. So now we have Bob on a daily basis, and it's good to have Bob's smiling face on the other side of the glass. Thank you, Bob, for all you do. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is our first Friday in November, November the 2nd, 2018. We are live Monday through Friday here on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted local news and talk station where your voice matters. Our media partners are TucsonSentinel.com, Green Valley News, and Saharita Sun. That's the Dan Shear organization. Not that Dan is head of the organization, but he is the editor of those two fine papers. And he's also the editorial director now of WIC Newspapers. Is that correct, Dan?
Yes, that's right, for about 6 months now.
Well, I'm a little late in congratulating you, but
thank you. But
that does mean travel, because WIC in the portfolio has how many papers?
We've got roughly 30 papers in 10 states.
Wow, yeah. Very good. Tucson Media Group supports us and its portfolio of Tucson-based publications, which include, of course, the Tucson Weekly and Inside Tucson Business. Our Friday Focus interview this afternoon is with Dr. Kate Kensky. Dr. Kensky teaches political communication, public opinion, and research methodology at the University of Arizona Department of Communication. Among her many published writings is the book she co-authored titled The Obama Victory: How Media, Money, and Message Shaped the 2008 Election. Also with me in studio to talk with Dr. Kensky, who is on the live line, is Joe Ferguson, Joe, political writer for the Arizona Daily Star. And if there could ever be a more busy time of year, it is right now for Joe Ferguson. Joe, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, but I'm counting down. Four more days, guys.
There you go. And thank you for carving out an hour out of your very busy schedule to be on the Buckmaster Show.
Happy to be here.
All right. Dr. Kensky, Kate, how are you?
Great.
Want to ask you right off the bat, negative ads are up 61%. Oh, my goodness, since 2016. $5 billion and counting in negative advertising nationwide this election cycle. Obviously, somebody feels that negative ads work. Do they work?
They do, particularly when they are given in high quantities. I should point out, though, that negative doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. Negative kind of conflates two types of ads. Some that are the uncivil ads, we should say, that go after people, but sometimes those negative ads are simply attacks about where people stand on issues, and it's a good thing for people to find out where candidates do stand.
Here's Dan Shear of the Green Valley News.
I want to read some stats to you. I want to come back to this topic, but this is from a CBS News poll over the summer regarding President Trump. It said that 91% of, quote, strong Trump supporters trust him to provide accurate information. 11% say the same thing about the media. Mm. Now, the negative ads,
ouch,
and then really the diminishment of the media's role in having an influence or even just as the information provider in campaigns has got to be an interesting discussion among your colleagues.
Absolutely. I mean, this is a concern because it is essentially undermining an institution that's fundamental to how our democracy or our deliberations occur with government. So it is a huge concern and something that we should take note of. One thing that we've seen an increase in over the past couple years are things like throwing around the word fake, throwing around the word lying, liars, and whatnot. And all those things do tend to diminish the discourse, because what it means is that people aren't reading broadly, aren't consuming broadly, so they tend to exacerbate their tendencies to get information from one side.
And then can we not go back then to the negative ads, because you're hitting on exactly what my frustration is and the frustration of people who are writing letters to our paper and who stop me and out on the streets and stuff. And it is that I'm going to call them low information voters, people who believe the negative ads and are not using the internet to really investigate the candidate's stance on the issues. These people are still going to the polls and they're casting a ballot based on just very flimsy information. I mean, and really that's all the candidates want is they'll do whatever they can get that vote.
I mean, absolutely. That's part of how the process works. And the other part is offering, you know, negative information, perhaps to the opponent's side, so that you try to suppress whether or not those individuals turn out by cross-pressuring them. I would still say that, you know, having more information, you know, is better than not, but clearly there's an imbalance, and part of that's because people cognitively have a hard time processing information that doesn't sit with the narratives that they already hold in their heads. And because of that, and because we've become more polarized in the past decade, that's just made it harder for us to entertain positions from the other side. Doesn't mean we have to accept them, or not even willing to listen to what the other side has to say.
There was such a the polling organizations certainly struck out, not only with the Brexit, first with Brexit, then with our own U.S. Presidential election. A lot of people, the people that are in the research business kind of had egg on their face. It just didn't go well. Do you see any change happening now 2 years hence here with the midterms, Kate Kensky?
You know, I wish I could say that the methodologies have improved substantially so that we could pinpoint estimates, you know, in advance. What I have been saying for the past couple years, particularly as telephone sampling was undermined with people getting cell phones and being less inclined to answer their phones from organizations that they didn't want to hear from, is that information is not so good at telling us at this moment in time what are the exact figures. That's not something that the methodology really can do. What it's better at doing, though, is telling us if things are headed in a particular direction or steering away from a direction.
Let's bring Joe in, Joe Ferguson from The Star. Joe, have a question?
Yeah, I just want to get a sense of why you think that Arizona is number one for political advertising and Tucson is number three when we've got, in terms of ad buys nationally. Why is Arizona such a hot spot for all of these ads right now?
I think basically the number one reason is that the region has become competitive. We are a state that has been consistently right-leaning, but even with the last election, with Trump's win, you could see the figures closing in comparison to years past, suggesting that Arizona has become more of a toss-up state than it was in the past.
So, I mean, I'm an expert more in CD2 than other parts of our state. So, you know, 2014, it was close. 2016, it wasn't. Why should we think that, you know, at least our region is becoming more of a purple color than, in years past?
I think that one thing is that, you know, because our area has about, one-third voters, or potential voters, I should say, are in that independent category, it means that they are more ripe for persuasion. I think that because of the polarization between, people who identify as Republican are going to vote Republican, people who identify as Democrats are going to vote as Democrats, there's, a bit of a ceiling in terms of, what you can do with those groups. They're not persuadable. But we have a large portion of our population that is. And I would say that that's what you go after. You go after people who have the potential. Now, it is hard to get people out to vote when they don't identify with the major parties. Major party identifiers are much more likely to come out to vote. But if you have a group that at least has that potential, it makes sense to go after that potential.
We're speaking with Dr. Kate Kensky from the University of Arizona. Dr. Kensky, a professor who teaches political communication, public opinion research methods in the Department of Communication. And I'm going to come back to this about the methodology in cell phones versus landlines after I take a break right here. So, Dr. Kensky, stick with us, okay?
Great.
All right, we'll be back with you in a second. But right now I want to tell everybody about my favorite bakery in town. It's Mona's Danish Bakery. Dan, have you been up there yet, Dan Shear?
Nope, been by it.
Well,
and they were closed.
You need to go by and say hello to Steve and the baking team. Joe, I know you love bakery goods.
That's true.
All right. Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, Northeast Corner, Swan, and Sunrise. If you're in that area, stop by, grab a sandwich. You will not regret it. The bread that sandwich will be served is going to be absolutely fantastic. Came out of the oven just a few hours ago. Go to my website, buckmastershow.com. There you'll find a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. Remember, Thanksgiving coming. Order your pies and all of your great rolls for the dinner table from Mona's. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Back. It is the Buckmaster Show Friday edition. You may have noticed we've got some new, what we call, bumper music here on the program. If you like it, let me know. I like it. Kind of harkens back to my love of 60s music here on the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Kate Kensky is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line, 790-2040. If you would like to call in with a question, Dr. Kensky teaches political communication, public opinion, and research methods at the Department of Communication at the University of Arizona. Among her many published writings, she co-authored a book titled The Obama Victory, How Media, Money, and Message Shaped the 2008 election. Dr. Kensky, if you had to do a book about this upcoming election, not a lot's changed, has it, as far as the money and the message?
You know, it's become more confused in terms of the methodology. And I think that, you know, what 2016 showed us was the ways in which people were processing information from social media had a huge influence. And that is something that is much harder to track.
Let me ask you, getting back to the methodology with these polls, older folks, and I'm in that category, I still have a landline, and a lot of my contemporaries do, and of course they have a cell phone as well. But is that being considered now in the polling?
Absolutely, but it's hard to find good remedies for it. The problem with cell phones, one is that people are more likely to block calls they don't want and less likely to answer surveys from them. The other thing is that the exchanges, that a lot of people move regions and they don't change their exchange. And so you may be, if you do a telephone sample, you may be sampling cell phones from people who are no longer living in Arizona, for example, if you were to do an Arizona poll. And so that makes it a bit trickier.
Dan Scheer is here from the Green Valley News and Saharita Sun. Dan is the editor and Joe Ferguson, political writer from the Arizona Daily Star. Dan, let's begin with you in the second segment here.
We've had a record amount of spending this election cycle, a lot of it on TV and radio and print. Do you think, however, that campaigns put too much stock in getting their message out only in social media?
I don't think that they should overlook the other outlets. I do think at the moment that people are dumping a lot of money into social media. And again, how people process that can differ. But generally speaking, what we would say is, you know, regardless of where you're putting it, and hopefully you do proliferate it as a candidate, those who spend the most seem to have the best outcomes.
All right, Joe Ferguson, join in, please.
Professor Kensky, I just wanted to get a little bit of a sense from you about polling numbers in terms of people coming back. We know that registration numbers and people who have already voted in this election are now higher than those who voted in 2016. You know, one of the things we've often learned is that, you know, there are voters who just don't come to the polls, and it just seems to be a continuing cycle where millennials, for the time being, are those who just aren't showing up at the polls. Is it possible that this year we're finally seeing a change in that?
You know, every cycle, I feel like the emphasis is on that particular group and the hope that they will turn out, mainly not so that any particular outcome happens, but whatever the outcome is, it's representative of the community. So I think that hope is there. The question is whether or not people are concerned enough based on current events to get them out there. I would say that the same arguments, you know, were made about 2016 and that this was going to be the moment of youth coming out. And they didn't show up in the numbers that the people had hoped. And so I think we'll see what happens.
I have a question about political signs. This always comes up. I have people who say to me, I hate those signs that are on every corner, and I've seen some stories in the media that say that the signs have virtually no impact. Do you have any kind of take on that, Dr. Kensky?
I think the impact is less than forms of communication because not as much can be written on a sign, and a lot of people aren't readers in the same way because we get bombarded by so many signs when we go to different places. And so the impact on the sign is going to be much less. That said, if you're a candidate running for office and that's one of your main ways to get your name out there, you could hurt yourself if you had no presence whatsoever.
Your mom, the late Margaret Kensky, Dr. Kensky, was a friend. I'm happy to say a friend of mine, and we interviewed her many times on TV. What did you learn from your mom in this particular arena?
Oh gosh, so much. I mean, that's a great question. One of the things I think is that my mom was really great at understanding where a region was, and I think this is where perhaps so many polls do miss the mark. She really knew Arizonans, and so she knew what percentages of which groups were most likely to show up at the polls. And so she was able to, weight her data in such a way that she had a pretty fine sense of where Arizonans were. And I think if there is something that's, harder about reading data these days, is I don't think that, the big companies necessarily that do the polls, have that same sense of a region. I don't think you can underestimate the importance of local knowledge when you are looking at campaigns.
That's a very good point. Joe, were you going to add something to that?
No, I wasn't going to add anything to that. I just wanted to get her opinion about the decision by the Green Party candidate to drop out of the race so very late in the Senate race and whether or not that will have really any impact in this what seems to be super tight Senate fight.
I would say there's two types of impact. One is, what do Green voters do? Do they get frustrated because they truly didn't want someone who they perceive as more moderate? So there's a question of, what we'll do to them. I think if there is a second impact, it's what it does for Democratic voters and what it does to those independents. I think it is a persuasive message to say, one of the candidates is saying this election is important enough that I'm going to step aside and see the candidate I want. So that message is out there. But I'm assuming that it also gives the Democratic voters some confidence. And so perhaps those who were going back and forth on whether or not they should show up will be more likely to do so.
Let's go to Terry. Caller Terry at 790-2040. Go ahead, Terry.
Thank you, Bill, and your guests, and to say hello, and congratulations on your staying, Bill.
Thank you very much. We're happy to stay here right at 12 noon. Go ahead, Terry.
Not only that, but you have somebody who's really special in her field, and she's well-known.
She sure
I want to say this. I know I'm going to get a real good answer, and I don't care what party you represent. You just do your job, a good job at the U of A. Continue that. I want to say this. I want a real good answer why Hillary lost. The media was on her side, the papers, magazines, everybody, their mother was for her, and they weren't ashamed to say it. Why did she lose those crucial liberal labor states?
Thank you. It's a good question. Go ahead, Dr. Kensky.
That is a fantastic question. One thing just to back up a little bit, I do think it's important to recognize that, on the popular vote, the polls with Clinton were pretty much on track. But so much of campaigning at the presidential level is really about the rules of the game. And it was the second time that the Clinton campaign, had overlooked, some of those rules. That, it was about the Electoral College. It wasn't about the popular vote, which is where she was doing so well. The two, I would say, major reasons, though, why Hillary Clinton lost. One would be a failure to connect with, some of those white voters in more of the rural regions, And I think there was a missed opportunity there. Perhaps it just, you know, wasn't meant to be. There's been some fantastic work on, you know, looking at why is it that, you know, some parts of the labor vote, you know, didn't vote Clinton, or, you know, generally speaking, have not been voting for Democrats. And I think that's important to keep in mind. The second thing is information really about Russian interference. There is a new book by Kathleen Hall Jamieson that basically argues that we can't underestimate the extent to which the Russians did have an impact on our election, and how the media, in terms of how it framed some of the arguments against Clinton, essentially helped the Russians' mission. And so, again, that's a new book by Kathleen Hall Jamieson.
All right. Dan, do you have a quick one?
Sure. 2018 midterms is the year of the blank voter. What's the blank?
I guess we'll definitely find out on Tuesday.
You're not going to answer.
Will it be the women as proclaimed? I guess one thing I would say is when we look at wins and losses across the region, I think we should take note not just on, you know, which, like, did women vote this way or that way, but really look at subgroups and see if there has been movement in comparison to 2014, because I think that'll tell us something about where we're headed. So it's not necessarily did women switch this way or, but to what extent? Are there percentages of categories, you know, even if the youth vote doesn't fully turn out to vote, you know, to what extent was there movement and more engagement this time than what had happened in the past?
Do you think there will be a so-called blue wave, and maybe that wave, if you judge it by whether it's a ripple, a wave, or a tsunami, who knows? But do you think there will be some kind of a blue wave?
I think there'll be some kind of movement. Mm-hmm. That'll be important to take note. But again, one of the you know, how we interpret that ripple, if you will, you know, makes a difference. If it's the case that it's interpreted as a big loss, then that can actually set people, particularly youth voters, back in terms of their engagement because they didn't win. And so part of this is, you know, expectations. And again, what I would say is, you know, are there increases? And we'll have to see.
All right. We will have to see. Dr. Kensky, thank you very much for joining us. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Kate Kensky teaches political communication, public opinion, and research methods at the Department of Communication at the University of Arizona. And among her many published writings is the book that she co-authored titled The Obama Victory, How Media, Money, and Message Shaped the 2008 Election. That will do it for our Friday Focus portion of the Buckmaster Friday Show. Coming up next will be our roundtable, and Joe Ferguson sticks around from the Arizona Daily Star, and also Dan Scheer, of course, from Green Valley and the Saharita Sun. Coming up at 1 o'clock today, the new sports show from 1 to 3 with Steve Rivera. And listening to Steve's show yesterday, had some great guests. Bob Baffert was on the program, his leadoff guest. I would say, on a scale of 1 to 10, Steve hit it out of the park. My goodness, he may be up for the Rookie of the Year talk show hosts here in Tucson, but his show is off to a great start. So check it out, 1 to 3, Steve Rivera. We'll be right back with the roundtable.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org. And remember to always start with trust.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Oh my goodness, Election Day is just around the corner. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, the Friday edition. And of course, there was a big handoff, change of ownership here from Good News Communication to Bustos Media. All of that happened yesterday. What it means is we're local talk here from 6 a.m. now until 7 in the evening. Then we do Bloomberg business report on the overnight, but it's local during the day here, so check it out. We've got some great shows here on KVOI. Also, I want to promo election night. I've been asked to sit in with John C. Scott, the dean of Tucson Broadcasting, for the election night program. We'll hear from all sorts of folks. Including one of our contributors here on the program on a regular basis, Terry Bracey. Terry's got a lot of great connections. Dan Shear is going to call in from Green Valley with some of his opinions. I think we've got Ninsel also involved. So that program is going to be election night from, well, when the polls close. Let's see. I think we're on. Yeah. Well, we're going to go 8 o'clock to 11. So we won't probably have any local results right away, but we will know what's going on certainly nationally. With me in studio, Joe Ferguson, political writer from the Arizona Daily Star. What are you getting all your teams?
We are preparing
up
for a big, big night.
Yeah, got I bet.
A lot of elections to cover. We're going to be at the parties. We're going to have photographers. We're going to be online. We're going to be everywhere we can be within reason. We've got a big team ready to report on this election that we've been building toward for the last 6 months.
Do you happen to remember the party locations?
Yeah, there's okay. going to be one over at the Sheridan on Grant, and another one will be at the Doubletree on Alvernon.
Which is which? Do you remember which party?
Dems are over on Alvernon, and the Grant is for the Republican.
All right. Dan Scheer, how about your area?
We got a lot of very hyper local issues going on. Our town council already was decided in the primary, so that's out of the way. But for us, the big issue countywide would be the roads. That's getting a lot of buzz down where we are. And then, of course, CD2 and then LD2, and we'll see if we have some changes going on there.
I have no feel for the whole bond, the county road thing. This is such a big deal because, as Dan, we've interviewed Chuck Huckleberry many times, he says there's pretty much no plan B.
That's what he says, but they may have to dig one up because this is just like the 2015 bonds, which all went down in flames, all 99 projects. I thought that there was overwhelming support as we were driving toward it. And then probably 3 weeks before the vote, I started hearing the tide turn. And I'm starting to hear that on this road bonds thing, too. And I think people are trying to answer that very question that you brought up. Mm-hmm. Is this really the last opportunity we have to do this? And then, is bonding really the best way to fix the roads, which everybody agrees is not? Now, Steve Christie, our supervisor down in our area, does not like the idea of bonding, but he feels that this is the last opportunity to do it because they have been through several other plans.
And on the city, there are a couple of city questions. One of them is kind of this, the parks. That one, I think I'm safe in saying, is going to pass. I mean, everybody I've heard wants this one. So
it's smaller than the roads bond, and you know, who votes against parks?
Yeah, I mean,
but at the same time, you know, people can get burned out. You know, when mm-hmm. on these kind of bonds, and sometimes an easy yes goes to a no as you get down the list, and you've just approved $430 million for roads. Will you be willing to back another $225 million and you know, accept the promise that your taxes still won't go up after approving $655 million worth of bonds?
So the other one has to deal with, of course, right now we do odd year elections for the city of Tucson. Would there be a, this is more to let the legislators know that the public likes the odd year election.
Well, the legislature has made a decision.
Yeah.
And it's now up to the people of Tucson to decide whether or not they want to go with the state law and move everybody back a year, or whether they want the city of Tucson to fight the state over this. You know, just thinking about how long our ballots are now, gentlemen, I got to tell you that this would just, you know, add a couple more names to things. There is some kinds of people that have said that they prefer to have municipal elections on off years just so people pay attention to them.
I like it that way because then we can kind of focus on that where we don't have all this other stuff going on. So when we have that odd year election, I can bring in all the candidates and let people try to get to know who's coming up and what is at stake. Dan, we had Nancy Pelosi in town.
Yeah, Joe might be a better one to about that.
I'll begin with Joe. Thank you. Joe, you were assigned to go cover Nancy Pelosi, who was at an event for Ann Kirkpatrick.
Well, we got an invitation, and we sent a photographer, and we got there, and the photographer was asked to leave. There was some kind of mix-up about the invitation, and they said it was closed to the press.
But there was an Associated Press photographer, right? Traveling
and
with
reporter,
the team. And a reporter.
Yeah.
Okay.
So there, we are part of the AP, and so it's a little unclear what was going on there, but we were asked to leave.
And it's not like we're not going to see an image, because you posted on your Facebook page, one of your Facebook friends sent an image of Pelosi and Kirkpatrick together.
Put out a $5 bounty for that picture. And
$5 if you
gentlemen,
come up
they didn't even want the $5.
All right. And so then, Dan, you followed up. You felt this was really important. important enough that there needed to be an editorial about
that.
This.
That all of us, and one written in about 12 minutes.
Yeah,
and
you really put that together quickly.
You know, and I had talked to the deputy campaign director, the one who had escorted the photographer out, and I said, why? And there is no clear answer. But what is clear is that there's a double standard there. And what's also clear is that you have people who are in their mid-20s running these campaigns who have no understanding of all the battles that have been fought over the years for press access and press freedom. And these are battles in the courts, battles on the battlefield, battles in protests in the street. This is important. So when she stood in that doorway and said no, I don't think she really understood what she was doing. I think the bigger question here is, who is in control of Ann Kirkpatrick's campaign? I don't think it's Ann Kirkpatrick, not that she is above doing this. We have seen how she has dealt with the media in the past, but this is this does not bode well if she is the person who eventually takes that office. This does not bode well for the press, and when they kick us out, they're kicking out you also, listeners.
All right. During our interview with Dr. Kensky, Joe, you asked about the cinema getting a boost in the Arizona Senate race. I mean, I guess it's a boost as the Green Party candidate drops out, backs out. And the reason I say I guess it's a boost, probably, 60% of people have probably already voted. More.
Probably more.
More.
More people rely on mail-in ballots every year.
So it's more of a psychological thing, maybe, because as Dr. Kensky pointed out, it's sending kind of a message.
It is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's going to be a tight race, that one. We've seen polls every day come out. They conflict each other, and it's just anyone's guess. My opinion, Bill, is it's going to come down to turnout.
Dan, what do you think?
I would agree with that, and it is interesting how at different stages you had one or the other ahead by quite a big margin. Most have already voted. I know I have, and it will come down to turnout. So to answer that question that Ms. Kensky didn't exactly want to take on, you know, the year of the blank voter. It's just the year of the voter. Uh-huh. It's whoever comes out gets the say. I am not confident that young people are going to come out and in the least. And I also think it's wrong to assume that all women pretty much vote the same way. It just doesn't happen.
What about legislative races that affect your area, your coverage area, Dan Scheer?
Well, we have Legislative District 2, and we have Chris Ackerley, who had been in the legislature and then got beat by Daniel Hernandez. So it's Hernandez and Rosanna Gabaldon, who are the Democrats, against Ackerley and Sizer, who are the Republicans. And this could be Chris Ackerley's opportunity to get back into the legislature. His 2 years in there, he got an awful lot done. I'm not a big fan of Daniel Hernandez and Rosanna Gabaldon.
You've written extensively about Mr. Hernandez's background. Has anything changed there, by the way?
No, nothing has
about
changed.
His credentials?
No, nothing has changed, and he's declining to address it. And I'm sending him messages through people who are very close to him that we need to get it hashed out. That and what we're referring to here is the fact that he lied for years over the fact that he had a university degree. He does not, and the issue is not the degree; it's the years of lying. So, if people keep sending him back to the legislature, then that is certainly their choice. We would support that.
You know, I wanted to give your organization, Dan, kudos. I've seen a really beefed up presence on Facebook. You're really, I mean, I'm seeing stuff that is very local in nature, but I'm interested in it, maybe because I just want to keep up on our region, but there's a lot of local stuff in there.
Right, and you know, for a local paper, the goal is to at times take national issues and localize them. So for instance, a heavy retirement area in Green Valley, when the Social Security increase was announced, we went out and talked to people and said, okay, another $39 a month, what's it going to mean to you? Or yes or no, what is the big deal? And we found this diverse response. For some people, it was like, yeah, it's another bottle of wine. For other people, it's groceries. And so you take those national issues, but you have to bring them locally because everybody's doing the national story.
Right.
So why would we do that? Mm-hmm. Because they can do it quicker and better. What they're not doing is relating it to Green Valley and Sahuarita and turning it into a story there. So that's what we do.
And for folks that don't know, you don't have a city council in Green Valley, and you said something earlier about your governing board has pretty much now been set.
Yes,
for the community?
For Sahuarita, it has. And this, again, is the off-year election thing, because we voted a couple years ago that we would go to the even year, which means the people who are serving at the time had to serve some extra time to get our vote during even years. But depending on how the ballots fall, it can be decided in the primary. This year it was. 2 years ago it wasn't. So we do not. So that is all set, and the new people will be sworn in November 14th.
How has social media changed your world, Joe Ferguson? I know you're all over the place on Facebook. I mean, for a news reporter these days, it's a 24/7 job, isn't it?
It is, and it requires a lot of consuming of that because, you know, Dan and I know that we listen and read more than we talk. So
right.
It requires a lot of consuming to go on, but it also has sped up our ability to get to people, to talk to people, to learn things, to, you know, understand our knowledge is been increased. Rather than waiting for a phone call or for a letter to be returned, we get emails or text or Facebook direct messages. And so I think that social media has largely sped up what we've been given, but it's a fire hose.
It is.
A lot of that information has to be processed and understood before, you know, it's turned out to our readers.
Gentlemen, I'm not going to ask you for, per se, predictions on some of these races coming up, but what are some of the ones that might be a focus? I'll give you my take on that, Joe and Dan. I would say the O'Halloran, Congressman O'Halloran, the incumbent, and Wendy Rogers. I don't really have a good feel for that.
It's a race where there's a lot of energy at the last minute. We've seen a lot of kind of big-name Republicans move into that race. Steve Bannon was here just a week ago to campaign for Wendy Rogers unofficially. So, I mean, I think that race is going to be something I want to watch. I don't know if there's a surprise there or not. The polling is a bit murky, to say the least.
Dan, kind of a marquee one you'll be watching?
What has surprised me down in Green Valley is Prop 305, which is the expanded vouchers,
yes,
has had huge, huge interest in a retirement community.
Wow.
And they largely don't like it. There are certainly some proponents of it, but I have been very surprised at the amount of letters to the editors I have received on that proposition.
All right. We'll have election coverage here on KVO. I from 8 to 11, myself and John C. Scott. Then the next day, two of the big hitters from your paper are going to be with me for the half hour on Wednesday. Tim Steller and Sarah Garrett Gasson will be with me, and we're going to kind of deconstruct the election.
Can't ask for better, more better experts than them.
Well, we sure try. All right, gentlemen, have a great weekend. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
All right, we've got Weekend Watch with Matt Russell coming up. What's going on this weekend, we'll tell you right after this. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Do you believe Thanksgiving is less than 3 weeks away? It is time to order the pies. Saw an article yesterday. Guess what? Pumpkin pie has been surpassed. There's a new winner. People want apple pie on their Thanksgiving table. And Steve and the gang at Mona's Danish Bakery, they will make it for you. They'll do whatever pie you want. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. And they're located northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Get your orders in now for Thanksgiving. Check out their website, monasdanishbaker.com. 579-1959. Go, new music for Weekend Watch. Stir It Up, Weekend Watch, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. It's only a 3-hour drive to one of my favorite areas of the southwestern United States. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find the complete listing of the many great places to stay and dozens of recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like hiking in the Gila National Wilderness. Let's stir it up, what do you say, with Matt Russell, Inside Tucson Business food and beverage columnist. How are you, sir?
I'm digging the new jam coming into this segment. Congratulations to you and your KVOI team on this historic week, Bill.
Yeah, it really is. This is a fun time here. And Steve Rivera is coming up next. He's got Reggie Geary in the second hour. What a great – he hit a home run, Matt, as I said on the air a little bit earlier. Here's a guy that's going to get Rookie of the Talk Show Host of Year award. Steve's got a great show, 1-3 here. What do we got going on this weekend?
Well, you know, the Celtic culture is going to take center stage all weekend long at the Tucson Celtic Festival at the Rito Park over there on First and River. Live Celtic music, Scottish games, Celtic merchants, and more. And the fun kicks off tonight at 6 p.m. at their Pirate Pub Party. Now, there's going to be great food and whiskey tastings in true pub fashion, as well as a Best Legs in a Kilt contest, which I'm sure you'll be competing in, Bill. Lots of other activities and family fun continue through the weekend, but it all starts tonight.
Oh, that's going to be a fun one. How about that, folks who love the barbecue?
Yeah, you know, when a new restaurant reaches their first anniversary, that says a lot about their success. And you can see what success smells like tomorrow at the first anniversary party at Red Desert Barbecue at Prince and Fairview. Pitmaster David Martin is going to be putting out his very best barbecue while taking 25% off of each and every order. There's going to be giveaways every hour on the hour, along with raffle prizes throughout the day. It starts at 10:30 tomorrow morning. Just follow the smoke to Red Desert tomorrow.
One of the marquee events is the All Souls procession.
Yeah, and that tradition dates back hundreds of years with the deep roots in the Catholic faith, and a way to kind of celebrate the lives of those that we've lost. And the All Souls procession, Tucson's version, is happening on Sunday. The procession is probably going to reach about 100,000 walkers, Bill.
Wow.
It's going to start at about 4 o'clock p.m. at Speedway in Grande, and then snaking its way to the Mercado San Agustin Annex for that finale ceremony. Now, this annex is a thoughtfully designed series of retail outlets, a beer and wine bar, a burger joint, and other merchants, and they're all kind of interconnected in a series of modified shipping containers, if you can imagine. It truly is a kind of a unique and beautiful backdrop for this moment of remembrance. So plan to join the All Souls procession on Sunday. Be safe out there, but it really is such a great event in Southern Arizona.
Have a great weekend, Matt. Thanks.
Cheers, Bill. Thanks.
The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Original theme music composed by Chris Stefan. Thanks to Rosemary Brandt, my assistant, the whole team here at KVOI, including engineer-producer Bob Dio, the whole team at Bustos Media, including our production manager, Jerry Cross, operations manager, Ray Allen, Alicia and Elsa in the front office, all of us wishing you a safe and pleasant weekend. Have a good one.